morning to you and to Ms. Brahmazad.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you. Do either council have any questions before we begin?
No.
Mr. King, then you may proceed.
All right. May it please the court. This appeal arises out of an appeal from the Lincoln County Board of Equalization to the TURC regarding the value, the assessed value of the property in issue. The appellant, well, the respondent did not agree with the assessor, the Lincoln County assessor's value of the property, which was done according to statute. In this case, the property is Section 42 USC Low Income Housing, and it is governed here in Nebraska by Statute 77-1333. And subsection 3 clearly states that the county assessor shall utilize an income approach calculation to determine the actual value of rent-restricted housing projects.
In this situation, the county assessor, there was conflicting documentation provided for 2016, correct?
For the 2018.
Well,
yes.
The 2016 information was used,
yes,
for the income-based, yes, evaluation, correct?
Yes.
And then the assessor did a three-year average.
The assessor
did. And my question is, I'll let you,
okay,
get back to it. That three-year average, is there anything in Section 77-1333 that allows the assessor to use a three-year average in making the 2018 assessment?
So the assessor, there were conflicting reports filed with the state. I'm not sure how that happened, but the assessor did make values based on both of them, but ultimately chose the one that was filled out more. As for whether or not there's something that allows to do a three-year average, there is subsection 9 of 77-1333, which grants the county permission to use any method for determining actual value, such as rent-restricted housing projects, that is consistent with professionally accepted mass appraisal methods described in Section 77-112. That doesn't exactly give the assessor permission to do an average, but it does grant the assessor more leeway when this report is not filed. And in the evidence, it does show that the assessor did use one report over the other. The assessor did make three values available to TURC, and
so it's averaging 3 years consistent with professionally accepted mass appraisal methods.
This is the extent of my work with assessors and appraisers, so I don't know.
Thank you.
But they did, so of the three values they put into the report, they advocated for the one based on the report that was filed with the state for 2018. And this report they chose because and it was the report that contained more information. There were two reports filed. One had more information. The other one, there were lots of blanks left in there and a lot of just other values put in the other. So that is for the 2018. For 2019 and 2020 tax years, there were no reports filed. So that goes back to subsection 9 of 77-1333, which it paraphrases, it says, if the actual income and actual expense data is not filed in a timely manner, the county assessor may use any method for determining value that is consistent with Section 77-112. And in this case...
I beg your pardon. Is that any method not include the income approach?
It says any method that is... It does include the income approach. So any method that is available that an appraiser or assessor would normally use.
Okay.
And for these 2 years, the county assessor just carried over the values from 2018, which in 2018 was an income approach calculation. So there is an argument that they did do an income approach calculation for 2019 and 2020. They just simply didn't use the market derived capitalization rate for those 2 years. But
is simply carrying over a number, is that a method?
It is a common practice. It's not usually used in low-income housing, but in other housing, in other methods of valuation, it is commonly used because the county assessor does not actively go out and reappraise every piece of property every year. They, at least in Lincoln County, and I would imagine that in other counties, they have different zones where they assess and revalue the housing each year. And so they, for those locations where they don't reassess it every year, they just carry over the value from the previous year.
So hypothetically speaking, if we were to say Turk was correct in throwing out the 2018 assessment, then the 2019 and 2020 would therefore go as well?
In that instance, yes. But conversely, if you were to say that they Turk incorrectly determined the value for 2018, then that doesn't necessarily affect 2019 and 2020. I think it probably should, but those two are separate on their own.
And the county hasn't challenged Turk's findings on the assessments on 2019 or 2020, where they just simply maintain status quo as well.
Your
argument is based upon the 2018 evaluation, which changes everything.
Yes.
But if 2018 is determined to be correct, the county's not challenging the 2019-2020 Turk evaluations are wrong.
I don't think we could. But my argument comes down to this is a statutory interpretation issue. Section 771333, subsection 3, it clearly states the county assessor shall utilize an income approach to determine the actual value of rent-restricted project when determining the assessed value of the place to place on the property for each assessment year. And for tax year 2018, there was the report filed, and so subsection 3 did apply in that instance.
Neither the Lincoln County Board of Equalization nor the taxpayer have raised any constitutional challenges to any of the statutes or to the equalization process employed. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Bramazan, good morning again. You may proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Carly Bramazan, and I am here today on behalf of the appellee, the Western Tabor Ranch Apartments, LLC. And my client is asking respectfully that this Court affirm the decision made by Turk. The Tax Equalization Review Commission evaluated the assessment that was done by the Lancaster County Assessor, as well as the Board's review of that assessment.
In Lincoln County?
Lincoln County. I apologize. Thank you, Your Honor. And after reviewing the record, the Commission determined that the evidence put forward by the taxpayer, the Western Tabor Ranch Apartments, was sufficient. It was clear and convincing and showed that the county board's decision was arbitrary or unreasonable, and that the valuation should be changed to match what my client had put forward in an appraisal that was conducted at the request of my client in 2017.
So let's go up to like a 20,000 foot level for a second. In effect, the legislature has determined that when a property is being used for a rent-controlled purpose, the sole determination of actual value will be the income stream from that rent-restricted purpose. Is that right?
There's a little more to it, because the statute 77-1333 lays out a procedure for the county assessor to follow, and then additional exceptions to that specific procedure. The goal of the statute is to reach the actual valuation of the property. And that's shown specifically in subsection 10 of 77-1333.
But actual value is as determined by an income stream, correct?
It's also determined by the sales approach and the cost approach. 77-112 lays out that those are the three approaches that can be used.
But in a rent-controlled project, those other two approaches are not on the table, are they?
They are, only because of subsection 10, which requires the county assessor that when they look at all of the facts surrounding the subject property, which would include sales information and cost information, as well as the income approach, then if they view that the valuation is not the actual value, they need to submit that information. They're required under subsection 10 to submit that information to the County Board of Equalization.
And that's the provision, I suppose you would suggest, that saves this statute from a uniformity clause problem.
Correct. Precisely, yes. And so subsection 5 of 77-1333 calls for use of the prior year's income and expense information in order to use an income approach valuation to determine the actual value of a subject property, that is income, the land use restriction properties. And then subsection 9 calls for the county assessor to utilize any accepted appraisal method if the prior year's income and expense information was not submitted. And in this case, the Lincoln County assessor utilized actually an average, as you've discussed, of the 2014, 2015, and 2016 income and expense information when they determined the 2018 value. And then they carried forward that valuation for 2019 and 2020. But carrying forward is not an accepted appraisal method. They should have.
Isn't that what the TURC board did in its ruling as well?
Yes.
Why would that be okay then?
Because they were limited to the information that they received from the county board and from the property, from the property owner.
They were limited to the record.
Correct.
Did they have the power to direct the parties to go back and do more work and come back to them again?
I am not sure if they do have that ability. They looked at the record and determined that the valuation evidence that they had was sufficient for them to determine the 2018 valuation, and there was not any evidence that supported either an increase or a decrease of that valuation.
So the 2018 numbers and approach projected or doomed the 2019-20 outcomes.
That is correct. The commission did also look at neighboring properties and similar rent-restricted properties in the area, and some had decreased in value, but the commission did not find sufficient evidence that supported a decrease. And they also had to consider what the taxpayer had requested, and the taxpayer in this case, prior to my representation, the taxpayer had not requested a decrease. The taxpayer had conceded that they did not expect the property valuation to be lower for 2019 and 2020.
Would you agree with your opponent that the valuations on 2019 and 2020 are not truly in question. I mean, the TURP evaluation is not truly in question. It goes back to the evaluation of the 2018 is what we're here talking about. But the fact that TURP chose to maintain status quo for 2019 and 2020 is not at issue.
Yes, that's correct. Based on what they had before them, what the commission had in order to evaluate the evaluation for each respective year.
I mean, it wasn't raised as an issue in this appeal by your opponent.
Correct.
That's okay. Thank you.
I just wanted to also address your earlier question about if the statute 771333 specifically allows for use of a three-year average, and it does not. It calls for use of the prior year's income and expense information when that is the actual information, and use of the income approach utilizing that data. I would also point out in the record that the Lincoln County Assessor's Office called into question the income and expense information in the Bill of Exceptions, Exhibit 4, page 81, Lincoln County Assessor pointed out that they were provided three different sets of data with some that match or are very close and having some that vary widely, which really opens up many questions. The county was aware that there were issues with the income and expense data that they were provided, which really opened up an obligation under subsection 10 of 771333 to look at additional information. That additional information would include similar properties, as well as prior sales for the subject property. My client had purchased this property in 2017, and that sales information was available to the county assessor and really calls into question if the valuation was accurate, which in my view created an obligation for the county assessor to present that information to the County Board of Equalization in Lincoln County.
Was this property a Section 42 property?
Yes.
At that time?
Yes, Your Honor.
And would you agree that the TURP Board found as the competent evidence to overcome the presumption of the County Board's accuracy of their work was the 2017 appraisal?
I apologize. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. When TURP found for your client that they had overcome the presumption that the county board was correct in its assessment, the TURP board pointed to the 2017 appraisal, not as the competent evidence?
Yes.
Now, I'd like to give you an opportunity. Have you had an opportunity to review the amicus brief in this matter?
Yes.
And they say that in that argument that that is not competent evidence because that appraisal is based upon a land use restriction agreement. Would you like to address that?
I would like to point out that the Lincoln County cannot raise the issue of constitutionality at this stage because it was not raised at the commission, at the commission level. But additionally, the appraisal was correct in the regard that it took income approach. And what was the specific issue with
the my reading of that argument is they're saying that that appraisal could not be competent evidence to overcome the presumption because it is based upon a land use restriction agreement instead of basically ownership and fee simple.
Right. Lancaster County, in its amicus brief, tried to distinguish the fee simple valuation and the least fee value, and they said that this appraisal only accounted for the least fee. But I would point out that also in the amicus brief, they said that the least fee would be different from the full fee simple value when the lease rental amounts are lower than market value. And in this case, the market rent rate is what is being charged, because even though that this is rent restricted property, that is the value of rent that that property owner could charge. Furthermore, anyone who owned that property would be subject to the lease restrictions and the income-based tenant restrictions through the next 10 or 15 years or so. So it does impact the full value. Or more.
Yeah.
Are there any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
1 minute, 19 seconds.
1 minute and 19 seconds, Mr. King.
Thank you.
If I may address the amicus brief, the way I read it, it is the basic first-year property argument of the bundle of rights. And the way I understood the argument is, in order to properly assess the real estate, the Section 42 housing, is you have to assess it based on all of the rights. And when the previous owner, 47 Tabor Ranch, I believe, entered into the agreement, they gave away some of those rights to become Section 42 housing. And so in order for the assessor to properly value the real estate, they need to bring back those rights in there and assess it based on all of the rights.
Didn't the amicus brief question the constitutionality of the statute?
It might have. It's been a while since I read it, but that, what I got out of it was the bundle of rights. So I'm not arguing whether or not this statute is constitutional. I think the more important argument out of it is the bundle of rights argument.
So who holds the rights that were restricted by the rental agreement?
I see my time is up, if I may answer the question.
You may.
Okay. They are held by, I believe, Nebraska Investment Finance Authority, which is our state's agency that deals with Section 42 housing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Council, that concludes arguments in Lincoln County Board of Equalization versus Western Tabor Ranch Apartments. So you are excused, and the court is adjourned.